Welcome, one and all. Thank you for joining us. This is Let's Dig Into That, where we take a deeper look at the realities that bond us as humans.
Love it. Love it.
Let's Dig Into That is a proclamation, a calling to connect. Our mission is to remain honest and curious to promote intentional connection through meaningful conversation.
Hey, baby.
Hi. Who I am joined by, that handsome voice, is my emotionally generous captain of kindness, Ann Hubbs, JT. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, baby. And the voice you were hearing, just so you all know, it's my love ninja, the wizardess of words, the great manifester, the queen of vision boarding, my wife, Jordan.
Getting t-shirts made. Thank you for that. Hey, congrats on the win last night, coach.
Thank you, baby. Our high school boys really pulled through.
Football game last night, Friday Night Lights.
Everybody got to play.
That is what makes my heart feel. Oh,
everybody got to play.
Everybody on the team. We aren't stacked deep.
Oh, no. But talking about a 300-kid high school.
Yeah, but it is awesome. And I brought my dad as my date, and we were decked out in all the right colors with my one pom-pom. I am that girl.
Thanks for coming, baby.
Yes, but our celebration is so silly. We happened to take two cars because you were coaching duty last night, and I peeled out of my hard pants. Anything, buttons, snaps, outdoor, right. Public clothes, and got in my comfies and went straight to the creams. I'm talking ice cream. And
slow churn, baby.
Slow churn.
Churning it out.
Our house is half the fat.
Half
remember
the
that?
Fat.
Half the fat. Half the fat. If you aren't familiar, there's a half the fat. Do they call it frozen yogurt? Probably not.
Oh, no, it's just slow-churned ice cream.
Slow-churned ice cream. So I have taken half the fat is eat half the container every time. We, in our house, have no shame in our ice cream game, and when it's on sale, we will buy 5 gallons at a time.
That is 100% accurate.
And so did you have a little bit of cream when you got home?
No cream for me last night, but it's like the only night this month that I haven't creamed hard. Just a drizzle of some sugar-free chocolate syrup, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, dark chocolate. Right. Sugar-free dark chocolate syrup. Yes, and so do you, with my portion awareness that I am like, I'm not kidding. I love to have a small serving 3 to 4 times. Uh-huh. And so I don't, because of that half the fat label, carry any guilt.
I
could have done worse. That's kind of my jam.
Well, you and I both grew up in households that were diet conscious.
Yes.
And again, the generational trauma that I have, and I can't even imagine your family with how many sisters your mom has, how many aunts you have.
Seven sisters.
Wow. But the generational trauma I experienced, my grandmother, who I never met because she passed before I was born, beautiful, 120-pound, and she married a man who was 6'8", and at his peak, 400-plus pounds. And so my poor mother grew up in a household that body image was a big deal. And
a very big deal. Your mom's ability to join us in a happy dining occasion has taken, I'm certain, decades of healing and hard
journey.
Work. And we're talking 12-ish, correct me at any point, for JT's mom, who I adore, but we're talking champion of recovery here.
Yeah.
But Fin-Fin, Tab, cigarettes, Diet Coke, that whole diet. I remember the horror of when your mother discovered first year of college, new best buds, cream cheese had eluded her entire...
Thank you for the strong teeth, mom.
Life. Yeah. Yes, you do have exceptional teeth and dense bones.
Yeah.
You are legitimately big boned people.
Yes, we are.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yes, cream cheese, and she gets off the plane, her mom picks her up and just... really toxic, hurtful, can't even go there. So you were raised one click down.
Exactly. I believe the words that my grandmother said to my mom after seeing her after her first semester of freshman year of college were, oh, well, you won't be eating on this trip home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I remember hearing
it. The whole point of getting into this is my mom is just a champion of recovery, and it's a lifelong struggle. And generational trauma is real. I grew up with body image stuff, and, you know, we joke about it, but you know the Snackwell cookies, taking it back to the slow churn? I know when there's one in the vicinity.
Within
like I a can quarter, smell
there's
them.
One in the building.
Ron Swanson, Tammy, they're here.
Parks and Recreation, if you're not familiar. Yes, and Ron Swanson.
To take the slow churn back to the, sort of today's topic of body image, yes, the fact that the slow churn ice cream says half the fat, I'll eat the whole thing and feel great about it. And it's totally ass backwards.
Again, our like cookie dough, half the fat.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. But the Snackwells, I know for Newlywed Game that would be JT's favorite flavor on earth, Snackwells vanilla cookies, which I believe were discontinued.
Oh, yeah. Well, the ones that they kept around were the worst one. They had like the chocolate exterior and then you bit into it and it was like a soft cookie.
Oh.
Those were the ones that lasted. They were trash.
Okay.
Like the vanilla cookie was next level.
Again, on this podcast, you will learn that JT has strong opinions about the most unnecessary. Yeah, don't get me started on muffins. So let's circle back. So we've got this generational context that, yes, your mother and father are built people. They are human beings
that
have a hearty build. And so would you be willing to give us a little more personal journey?
Absolutely. I struggled with body image stuff. Like, I remember being under five.
That first moment. When did you become aware? Right.
Yeah. And it's hard, but I remember being like under five, and my parents did an amazing thing. And because we are big people, there's not anything you can do about that. They joined this heart program when I was later in life. But when I was a really small kid, I remember watching both my mom and dad struggle to do regular everyday activities because they had gotten large. And even at like 3.5, 4 years old, it had such an impact on me that before I was in school, I was conscious of my size and weight.
Like, found it limiting or potentially limiting?
Afraid of my future because I was looking at my parents who were really large. And so before I was 5 years old, I already had a mindset of, I don't want to be like that. And it breaks my heart because my parents are amazing people, but we needed to get healthy. And later in my life, my parents did. We sort of all did. And I went way too far with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys did make a major swing because you were peanut butter and jelly, fruit snacks, bag of chips, soda. Kind of
McDonald's.
And your parents were so ran a business together.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that is nonstop. And so it was I have no complaints on the childhood, but so many meals my mom would concur in the back seat. Car picnic is what we call that.
I love that.
And that was our 2 soccer practice, 2 karate, 2 golf, 2 all the activities. And yeah.
Yeah. So my body image stuff started super young. And again, it is that generational thing. My mom grew up with it. Her mom grew up with it. My great-grandmother, Mimi, she was hard on my grandmother, too, from all the stories I've heard. And so it's ingrained deep in me. But tell me a little bit about how you were raised, your relationship with food, and growing up around a horde of women that had to be difficult. And
Yes, I think not difficult. Like I do feel fortunate that my mom has 7 sisters and everybody procreated and she's towards the bottom. I have 2nd cousins that are older than I am. And so the variety, the scope, we have like 100 people at Christmas. So there's always that comparison. And I have these gorgeous cousins that are a few years older than me that I was always admiring. But like in the house, I knew Weight Watchers numbers early. I Atkins, but I feel so ashamed that I'm like the cliche. Like my punchline is, I fell for it. I hated my bod. There was a phase with knees. Cellulite has been like, I knew to disdain it and that I needed to be like horrified and on alert mm-hmm. before I knew what it was. And turns out with these seven sisters, it doesn't like some have beautiful hips, some are chesty. I have my dad's boobs, and, you know, and I carry it. Yeah. Little lower in my, and so I have done laser treatment. I have paid thousands of dollars in trying to make my body different. And that doesn't include, I've never done Botox or fillers or things like that, but I'm sure it's maybe like, we'll cross that bridge.
If we didn't live
later.
In the woods.
If we didn't live in the, you keep getting those positive affirmations. This man delivers compliments. And I'm like, thank God I grew out my Botox bangs. I did a haircut to just cover my wisdom lines. But anywho, I am the upbringing.
Yeah.
I think it was I am sad to report it was that constant awareness. And so I wish there was a little bit more of that fun childhoody, but like I tried to count calories. I tried to be bulimic. That was very short-lived. I had dear friends that battled, and you might be willing to chat with us about that.
Yeah.
With some serious eating disorders. And so like there was, yeah, the Atkins, like so much fried cheese. And really unhealthy in the, and so, yeah, I hate that I feel very.
I'm not a dietitian, so I don't want to trash anything. But of all the diets I watched my family and participated in, Atkins, it's just putting so much saturated fat into your body and controlling your carbs. And I don't know.
I'm a huge protein fan. And so, yeah, making sure you get enough of that anyway.
You know that to this day from my trauma. Protein is how I justify things like the ice cream.
That's right. You know that? The fat has a great protein content.
Exactly. It's still dairy. You're
getting stacked.
So I turn that ice cream gallon around and I'm holding it in one hand and I'm reading I'm not looking at calories.
Nope.
I'm not looking at saturated
fat. Eyes averted.
I'm not looking at carbs or sugars. All I'm looking at is protein because that's how I can justify.
That's how you're building that tempo.
I'm having a protein shake before bed. I'm not having a bowl of ice cream. That's how I can justify it. But.
Oh, so my gosh.
Before we transition, because I do have a long history of this, but I want to talk more about, like, I think it's such an interesting thing that my mind, when we're talking about body image, went straight to weight.
Right.
You went to cellulite. You went to all these other things.
I went image, but you're right on weight because I was an early, look at me just interrupting you there. I loved it, but I'm like, I'm with you. early bloomer. And so, yeah, started my period at 10. Like, come on.
Wow.
But I was in sixth grade, the height I am now. And that was with my dad's breasts. And so I chose, I'm sure my earlobes were a point of disdain at some juncture, but I remember I didn't wear shorts for years and my, you know, the flub-a-dub, whatever we're going to call that under our arms when you wave aggressively and that little jiggle, like I was just so angry about that in like eighth grade. And and I felt like I had to be part of the club a little bit. And so,
wow, that's so interesting.
I don't know if it's just time. I hit 40 this year, but I have spent the past 5 years with a lot more kindness.
That's
really nice. But I do want to get back to, so you grow up in this household. You have this, bless your little tender heart, 5-year-old awareness of I am afraid, I think was your word, of leading that lifestyle, ending up unable to do these activities that I want to do. So do you want to kind of walk us through how you committed yourself to that path?
Yeah. And it's embarrassing to put this out there and, you know, I'm going to be vulnerable.
Safe
but
space.
Yeah. Really what I already had this conscious awareness of like, okay, I'm not the same as all these other kids. My parents are not the coaches of the teams. They're not capable of doing these things, and it scared me. And what that translated into as I got older was it became the time where people started dating. And all of my friends who were not from a family that was large were starting to date and have girlfriends and all this kind of stuff. And that wasn't happening for me. And there's probably other factors. I was a weird kid, but at the same time, that's how I internalized it, was my mindset was already stuck in this, it's because you're big. And like that was already in my mind. And so I didn't get my first kiss was when I was 16. And I didn't really start garnishing a lot of attention until I was about 15, 16 years old. And what I had done is I stopped eating. I was running 600 calorie diet and I was counting every single calorie, trying to ingest zero carbohydrates and saturated fat. My diet was basically Boca burgers, which are little tofu things you can heat up in the microwave that are 130 calories, don't have any saturated fat in them. I'd eat a couple of those a day and usually a bowl of cereal. And that was all I would eat. And I did that for, man, from about 15 years old to about 28, where I would make sure that I consumed under 1,000 calories, exercise 2 to 3 times a day. And as a 6 foot
four. I was going to say, can we just comment on your stature?
Yeah.
As 6 foot four. And during this time of 600 calories as well, you are an athlete. And so that helps with your build description too.
I was a full round athlete or a full year round athlete where.
Three sports.
Football transitioned into wrestling. Wrestling transitioned into lacrosse. And I had to, those were the three I settled on. Those were
right.
The,
baseball was
I had
in
to
there
give up a lot of things because they don't let you compete at the high levels. And so, yeah, I was working out like crazy, eating next to nothing. And I think in that time frame, I went from about my natural weight should sit around 250 to 240 pounds. And from my teenage years and into my early 20s, I was sitting at about 180, 185 pounds. And here's the really fucked up thing about it. In that time, I started dating. I started getting a ton of attention from everyone. I couldn't go into an Abercrombie and Finch without getting offered to be.
You worked there.
I did. Well, I worked. I worked as one of those people that stood outside the door without a shirt on, and people gawked at. I did regional shoots for J. Crew. All the things that I wanted
reinforcement
in my life happened. Because I lost that weight and looked a certain way. But the other thing that's interesting about that in hindsight, now coming up on 40 years old, it was also the most miserable time of my life. I would eat and then instantly feel terrible about myself because I had eaten. And it's not like I was
all
eating.
Consuming.
Right. It was
mentally.
All of my time, all 100% of my time every day.
How did you possibly, like, at 28, you happen to pick the age that you can note. How did you get here in this very, because I would consider your relationship with your body and food to be fairly healthy, medium plus. I'd say that you've got to, and I hope that I am a constant, we'll get back to how complimentary I'm, big fan of your work, but please take us through that recovery.
Yeah. And first off, I just want to say anyone who's struggling with body image stuff or even taking it to the next level where you have an eating disorder, this podcast isn't where we're going to help you. We're trying to make it more something you can discuss. And so I'm going to talk about my experience, and I needed professional help. I went and saw a counselor and worked with a dietitian and really had to do the work from a mental health standpoint, because what was wrong in my mind, like the body dysmorphia of that I still feel when I look in a mirror, and what you see, I know is different from what I see.
Absolutely.
But the awareness of knowing that, hey, the things that you're seeing right here are not exactly, and it's about feeling comfortable in your skin. And so I got professional help. And that's what I would encourage anyone who's really seriously into this is see a professional, and you're not alone. That's the biggest aspect of absolutely. And that was one of the things that was really hard for me is I had never heard of a guy going through this stuff. And now that I've gotten older, I realize we all do. I went off the deep end. I took it to the next level. But the things that I was feeling that led me to that are not unique to me.
It is fascinating that I agree that the men in my life that I'm fortunate to have a close bond relationship with, all of them have a hang up or to their thing, body image related. And I'm thinking like any that don't are probably bullshitting or it's never come up. And so I think that it is your, I mean, nail on the head. We all, as humans,
right. And that shift was the major change in my dynamic of starting to be healthy, starting to have a healthy relationship with food and my body, there's so much power in knowing that you're not alone when you're going through this.
And with not alone too, that reinforcement you were getting, saying like, oh, I want to surround myself with people that are, that's a very different crew.
Exactly right. And it, again, I will be the first to say how much of the way that I thought about myself came from external things, mm-hmm. people around me, is embarrassing now that I'm older and have some scope on the world. But the company that you keep is a big deal. What another thing that really helped me transition, and you've been a big part of this, is there are people who like the body that I have. And yes. I didn't ever associate it with them in the time that I was sick, as I call it. Mm-hmm. I was around people that only cared about your body image. And so I surrounded myself with people who were reinforcing these negative beliefs, these dangerous beliefs. And so figuring out the kind of people that were going to support the way that I wanted to live and keeping that company is another way that really, really shifted my dynamic and sort of helped me change my mindset.
That's so, yeah, so interesting, because you do, it's a slippery slope of motivating crew, of we're working out together, and the diet word we all can love hate. Again, we don't use it, which is very nice in our house, which is, yeah.
Well, something that we don't talk about. Together, since sobriety, mm-hmm. we have lost what?
Well, yeah, since we met, we've lost together 130, 540 pounds.
Yeah. With
half the fat.
With half the fat. But I think that the really important thing about that is what we did for that is, yes, we are consciously healthy, but we don't let ourselves get to an unhealthy point in thinking about it. But it's our happiness and our mental health.
It is my mental mind state for sure. And I have spent 4 years, part of my daily mantra routine, I have my three, I'll roll out three gratitudes, write them down, mm-hmm. say them out loud, mean it. And I have a cousin that inspired me, and she, a self-love, a kindness about my stuff I can't control or can physical nature, and it has different every day, has mm-hmm. been really empowering. There are days where I'm like, glad I got my eyebrows under control, you know, and it's like, that'll do it. But
taking the small victories of like, today my guns look sick,
right?
You know, that goes a long way of being able to say that out loud, look yourself in the face in the mirror and say that to you. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of power in that.
And I have to compliment you on JT's absolute intolerance for negative self-talk. No, it's toxic. No go. And he is wonderful. You are. You are wonderful at a really loving correction or redirection of like, hold up. You aren't like, don't talk about yourself that way, or give like, it's a really to the point. I watched you on a family vacation, the one where my mom got married, a family vacation that you lovingly corrected her when she is notorious for being hard on herself in photos that were taken 3 seconds ago in beautiful places. And you have really had a positive impact on her life as well.
Well, that's very kind for you to say. And a lot of that, it's a little selfish. Like, I don't tolerate that because of my history. And I also think it's a good practice. Like, I hate having my picture taken. And when I see a picture of myself, I have the same reaction that your mom does. But you know what I have to do? I have to find an element of that picture that I like. And that's part of
great my, lighting is one of mine. Usually I'm like, check out that golden light. Good angle.
That's part of my process, but it's a practice. And mm-hmm. the more that you practice the self-love and the encouraging of,
and who you surround yourself with, because I know you are verbal, like complimenting anyone. I love complimenting strangers. We can circle back to that, but I know it helps boost, and I mean it every time. I'm very conscious to give you you know, any sort of body reference that I'm like,
but, absolutely.
And I'm known for my line of, yeah, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is I love that when you're out in the world and you see someone and you're like, wow, those glasses are sick. You're the first person in my entire life that I've met that says that to me and then walks over to the person and says it to them.
All the
time. Why don't we do that?
Well, I'm sure I'm not alone, but it is magnificent. My shoulders roll back. I feel better in my body when I can compliment something that is a one of great haircut, great glasses, beautiful eyes. Sneakers are real. I love.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, yes, if you think it and it's positive, it is so worth saying out loud to somebody.
Absolutely. The effect it has on the person and the effect it has on you.
Yeah.
It goes back to something that I live my life by of, it's really hard to be in a crappy mood if you're grateful for the shit you have. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's sort of the same thing as if you're dishing out the compliments, it gives you a sense of satisfaction and helps you with your own body image. It's a real thing. It sounds kind of crazy, but that's true. Gratitude is huge.
Gratitude is huge. And this is our one shot. Like I keep my new kind of mindset, I guess, is, well, you're not going to be like younger tomorrow. So just,
right.
Yeah, own this. And so I'm grateful for, yeah, the functionality of my body and less worried about the cellulite. And so.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Growing together. And to wrap this up, I just want to give you another amazing compliment because you have helped me with my body image stuff in such an immense way by being real and being very honest, but also making me feel comfortable in my skin. It's such a huge thing that we have a bond in this area and we can understand each other in that. And it's because we were vulnerable with each other and talked about it. This could be something I was keeping a secret. You know, I don't share this with the world till now.
Yeah.
That I'm just, you know, like it's still to
brave.
This day something that as a guy feels weird to discuss. And so your openness is a huge thing that's helped me in recovering from my body image and food struggles. And so I owe a lot of gratitude to the support that I have in this house, but in our world too.
What did I call you? Captain of kindness. I wasn't lying. But no, it is, yes, your impact has made me healthier. And I hope that this does inspire conversations because, yeah, we've all got stuff.
Absolutely.
Let's
talk
about it.
You're not alone.
Correct.
So as we wrap, if you are struggling with a eating disorder, please do not keep that in. Find the help that you need. You're not alone.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank
Until next time.
I'm JT.
And I'm Jordan.